Solomon, and welcome to another edition of Warrior Connection. I'm Doug Rocky, and I'm talking to you guys from the wet and rainy Illinois. We've had so much rain here in Illinois lately that we're kind of playing in the mud instead of planting our crops. But anyhow, everything is growing, and the birds are singing, and the flowers are blooming, so it's pretty nice. Well, tonight we're going to continue on what we had. We had an incredible author to talk to and a librarian also. And before we get to that, Denise, are you there for an update? Okay, well, I guess Denise is not available. Nicole, are you available?
I am. Hi,
well,
Doug.
Welcome, Nicole. Welcome to Warrior Connection. Nicole Odell, prolific writer, mother of six. Wow. She's the author of young adult fiction and her popular series, Scenarios for Girls Interactive Fiction series, also the Diamond Estate series. And she's also the nonfiction, the host of Girl Talk, a question and answer for parents and everything. Well, Nicole, wow. I mean, when I've read your book and seen it and seen you, I mean, it's kind of like, wow.
Oh, well, thanks. It's been a busy few years, that's for sure. I do have six kids, like you mentioned, and the oldest is off in the Air Force serving in Afghanistan right now. And my youngest are four-year-old triplets. So, and then I have two others in the middle. So it's, you know, it's definitely a busy household, and I have written and released through traditional publishers 21 books since 2007. So it's been a whirlwind, but exciting, really exciting.
Yes, I mean, you have an incredible thing. I think one of the most important thing, again, as a mother and working with teens and talking to teens and establishing, trying to increase parent and teen cooperation and understanding, mm-hmm. I think that is so, so important for everything today, isn't it?
It is. It really is. And I try to model that on my website and through some of the resources I offer by bringing my daughters into the process with me. A few years ago, we started a column called Girl Talk, and readers, mostly teens, they'll write in with their questions about things like divorce and blended families and peer pressure and things they're, you know, dealing with at school and eating disorders and all those things that teenagers face. And then my daughters would answer first, so they would give their insight from their perspective, and then I would follow up with my perspective. And we did that for quite a while. And my publisher just kind of had been following along that column and said, you know, this is such a great resource. Let's put a book together. Let's do a book. So we did a book 2 years ago called Girl Talk, and it is 180 of those Q&As. Readers wrote in with them, and my daughters and I answered them. And then we just recently, last month, got contracted to do a second follow-up book to that Girl Talk book. So it's really cool to be able to bring my daughters in and work with them and expose them to different things and hear how they think on things. And I think by doing that, what I'm trying to do is show parents that your teenagers they have valid thoughts and valid opinions, and they really can be wise if they're looked at as separate human entities that have, you know, a train of thought and a thought process. And, you know, if you embrace that and encourage it, you can harness that into something really powerful.
Yeah, I know as a school teacher, I've been back and primarily teaching a lot of 6th through 8th grade, and that's right there at that teen time where the girls and the guys, I mean, the changes that they make is so incredible.
Oh, yeah.
And they need to have guidance, and they need to have parental support, and they have to have parental understanding, and the whole thing all put together, don't they?
Oh, yeah. And a lot of what I see is parents, you know, they get to this teen stage, and they say, freedom, I can relax. My kids can drive, they can stay up late, they take care of themselves, they do their own laundry, whatever it might be, and they kind of loosen the attention they're paying and the expectations they have and the boundaries, when in reality, at that stage, they need more parental involvement and supervision than they did even in those early years. This is when they're making the choices that are going to impact their future, how they raise their kids, how their marriage will be. All very, very important things, and they're laying the foundation for that during these teen years. So what I do, I kind of reach out to teens through fiction, because I think it's an author friend, Paul Young, he wrote The Shack. He said to me once that fiction is really cool because it forces you to let down those watchful dragons that sit guard at your mind and exposes you to things, and you learn something before you realize you were learning it. That's my goal with the fiction for teens. And then I write nonfiction for parents to help them communicate with their teenagers and address certain hot-button issues and have those communication opportunities with their kids.
Well, it seems like it's so important. I mean, you've got not a child anymore, but a young adult that's in the Air Force and over in Afghanistan now. So you thoroughly understand the military mindset. You understand what the parents are feeling, what the other siblings are feeling about this, don't you?
Oh, yes. And my girls, my teenage girls, they're struggling with him being there. They don't quite grasp what he's doing, and in their mind, they see him plunked down in the middle of a war zone. And, you know, it's not like it was in some of the movies they might watch and, you know, see a war zone. It's not like that today as much. But there is risk. I mean, he told them that he has been involved in where he had to take cover and, you know, mortar activity and things like that. But he's in flight, so his job is in the air. So they have all these visuals of what could happen and how could he do that and why would he want to go there, and they're terrified. And his job will keep him there. He'll be there 4 months and then home for 4 months and then back for four for as long as this continues. So, you know, they're just... It's a tragedy to them to think of their brother over there. But thank goodness for Skype, because we talk to him more now than we did when he was home. So,
yeah. Violet, are you there by chance?
Yes, sir, I am.
Well, we got Violet Lapine, who's an incredible librarian. She's the one that's put together all of these local authors' fairs and does all this stuff for the kids and everything at the Rantoul Public Library. Well, Violet, welcome to... Warrior Connection, and thank you for setting all this up for the last 2 months.
It's been very exciting, and I have to clarify something. I'm not technically a librarian. I am a technical library assistant. I don't have my master's degree, but I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah, so, I mean, when you're working with all these things, and I know with all the different books we've had in, I mean, the response to all, I mean, Nicole's books and everything else have been pretty substantial. Do you find that the teenage girls are coming in the library looking for information and looking for help all the time?
Oh, I do. They are, and they come in there because it's a safe place. They know they can find information, and they trust us.
That's pretty, pretty neat, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm really thankful we have books like Nicole's. And she has donated several of her books to our library. I have to thank her for that. We really appreciate it, because it's nice to have that kind of resource. And somebody that's local, these kids can go and say, oh, yeah, I know who Miss Nicole is. You know, I've seen her. I've, you know, seen her at the local places. You know, I go to church with her kids. I go to school with her kids. So it's really nice that it can have that kind of connection with somebody that's not just, you know, out there, some no-name, a big name, that they don't know the person.
Yeah, that can be extremely important, because, Nicole, when you're writing these books and everything, obviously you're becoming a role model, and then having the continued discussion where you've got parent talk, you've got teen talk, and your books and the girl talk book series. Again, this develops everything, I think, where the parents can communicate more effectively. But it's got to be neat to have other girls say, hey, you know, I can do that. You know, Mrs. Odell did that. I can do this, too.
Oh, the writing? Yeah, absolutely. I get a lot of teenagers who will contact me for tips on writing. And generally the biggest thing I get is they have this really great book idea. They want to put it together and self-publish it, and they want it out next month. So I sort of have this almost a chain of emails that I'll send out, and they're just kind of pre-written, where it talks them through the process of writing and then editing and self-editing and getting someone else to edit for you and edit again and being patient, because too many times they're in such a rush. I've been there. If you go back to my first two books, it's I make a joke out of this. I teach some writing courses, and I use some examples from my first book to show what not to do. I was blessed to have such great opportunities dropped into my lap when they were. But it was also, it presented its own set of challenges, because I really, as a writer, I wasn't ready to be published at that time. I didn't know certain things about, I had never even heard the term point of view at that point. So my writing really reflects all of that. So, you know, I use those as an example to say, yes, it's exciting. Yes, that's great. You have ideas. Pursue them. Definitely pursue them. But be patient, because the process is important.
Could you talk a little bit about your scenarios for girls interactive fiction series?
Sure, that was my baby for a long time. We wrote six of those, Barbara Publishing and I, and they're six separate books, but they're compiled into three two-in-one volumes. So each of these books has two books in them, and each of those books has two alternate endings. So when the reader gets to a certain place, follows the main character through this kind of dark, hard road, and this character has to make this really tough decision, usually really peer pressure focused, and it puts them in a place where they can see, ooh, you know what, if you'd asked me if I would have done that, I would have said no. But now that I see the circumstances unfold, I can see why it would be challenging to make that right decision. So then it gives the reader the opportunity to turn to a certain page to make either the right choice or the wrong choice and see what happens following that decision. It gives them the chance to take ownership of their choice.
Yeah, so obviously they're learning as they're going through this, and then obviously the next time they can go back and make other decisions, and it'll take them down another path in the book also, right?
Right, right. And they learn from it, and then at the end of each book, there's a little one page that's a commitment to that particular choice that walks this teenager through making that commitment to saying, okay, I get it. This is what I commit to do when I'm faced with these circumstances. And the coolest thing for me as the author is to get letters, emails from readers who say, I had no idea, but I faced that exact same thing. It happened just like that, and I knew what to do.
That's kind of exciting. What is the mm-hmm. Diamond Estate series?
Well, that one is really patterned after my own life. It's Diamond Estates is a group home for teenage girls. It's a residential, not really like a drug treatment place or something like that, but it's set in the Colorado Rockies. It's a residential place for girls who just need to get away from their circumstances and regroup and recommit to good decisions and find truth in their life. And what happens in each book is a main character for about half of the book keeps falling down this slippery slope of maybe something bad happened and then poor choices followed and confusion and doubt and all those things creep in and then more bad choices follow and it piles on until they don't see a way out. And then eventually they end up at this Diamond Estate Center and it all, you know, it's a hard road. It's really a hard road to make change. So just going there doesn't automatically change everything, but they begin to start to crack open the truth of hope in Christ and what they can do to make good choices and how they can commit to these, you know, to these good choices when they leave Diamond Estates. And I, as a teenager, patterned these books were really following a lot of my life and a lot of the people that I knew during those years. Some bad things happened. I don't know how much we want to get into, but it led me down that same kind of slippery slope that I write about in these books. And I ended up going to a teen challenge center, which is very much like Diamond Estates, minus the Colorado Rockies and the horses. But it's, you know, it was very much like that, a residential center. And I just was really able to shed all that baggage that I'd been piling on. I didn't know how I was going to get rid of it. I was too young. I didn't understand how to make all these changes in the middle of the circumstances that I'd created for myself. And so I went there, and I lived there for about 8 months. And you would see in the Diamond Estate series, all the different characters are people I met while I was there and the circumstances they encountered, you know, in their lives. And I pulled them all into these books.
Well, I think one of the most important, all this stuff is just absolutely incredible. And then obviously you've got your Girl Talk, which is mm-hmm. the book Question and Answers, again, based on, you write an advice column also?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my daughters and I write this advice column on the website, and the book is patterned after that advice column. And it's all about these daily, weekly circumstances that our girls are facing constantly on a regular basis, and it just points them back to truth and helps them get an understanding for the fact that they aren't the only one. They aren't the only one who's going through something like that. They aren't the first one. They aren't the last one. And it just gives them an outside input, insight into what they're going through. So we get letters every day, usually emails, and then we answer one or two a week, and then I answer the others privately. Some of them aren't necessarily good for public public consumption, depending on what it is. But there's a lot going on out there, and these girls, they just need somewhere to turn.
That is really, really important. Well, you know, ladies and gentlemen, as we're listening here, again, the Progressive Radio Network, what we're doing is we're expanding your mind, providing you resources and information, how to make your life better, how to make the family's life better, those who are in the military, even outside of the military. So now, again, tonight, we got Nicole Liddell, who's a prolific writer, and again, talking about how do you give information, discuss stuff with the teens, how do you talk to the girls to make their lives better and everything else. How do they? Do you have a website, Nicole? How do they get in touch with you?
Yes, you can go to NicoleOdell.com, or and right there on the homepage, I have a giveaway that's going on right now. It just started today, giving away the full Diamond Estate series, all three books. So you can just go there, and there's a little box, and it talks you through how to enter to win that series. So you can do that at NicoleOdell.com.
So that's www.Nicole, N-I-C-O-L-E. Odell, O-D-E-L-L.com, correct?
That's it, yep.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you've got this whole thing. So you've got your website where you've got girl talk, and the girls can call in questions and answer. Parents can call and get questions and answers, too, also, correct?
Well, the website, the column on the website is strictly for teenagers, for their questions. That's the girl talk column. But then I have two radio programs I do, much like this one, and one of them is called Parent Talk, and one of them is called Teen Talk. And each of those shows focus on, I bring guests on, and we talk about resources and questions, struggles that parents and teenagers have. The goal is to kind of marry those two shows in a way that speaks to the parents and the teens about the same sorts of things from their perspective. And those air on Friday mornings at 9 o'clock Central, 9 a.m. Central. And then they're also on iTunes and on my website as well. You can go to choosenowradio.com to see a list of those shows.
That's pretty neat. What kind of things, what kind of concerns do the teen girls have today? What are they struggling with? Or is there anything unique from when we were growing up that makes it different today? Or is it all pretty much the same things, just updated
to
the present?
Yeah. I think the biggest change, or it's not even a change, it's just that the availability of media and exposure is just so prevalent. They're constantly bombarded with pictures and images and videos and celebrities. It's constant. And what's happening is their image is shattered as they are trying to live up to some kind of ideal that doesn't even exist. These celebrities are, if I had a personal chef, a personal trainer, a house cleaner, and a photoshopper to follow me everywhere I went, I could look like them too. But, you know, we can't all have every photo we have photoshopped, and our teenagers are holding this ideal that doesn't exist. So we've got eating disorders and body image struggles and popularity battles and bullying. I think all of that centers around that image battle. And I talk a lot about the filter. That our image, the way we see ourselves, is a filter. So we can have this unhealthy filter where everything we hear and see and think about ourselves goes through this unhealthy filter, and all that's left then is the gunk. That's how we see ourselves. Or we can put this healthy, godly filter in place. And then all those same things that we hear and see and think about ourselves, they go through that good, that healthy filter, and what's left then is the truth, the good stuff. And I just work with teams to try to be intentional about putting that healthy filter in place.
And the parents, I mean, what are the parents' concerns, or what do they want to talk about, or what kind of guidance can you give parents who are working with teens? And again, you have firsthand experience. What can a parent, you know, a military that's dealing with other militaries, whether they got a child in the military, How do you communicate and talk to that? How do you get that information out? Because, I mean, obviously, trying to tell a teen, somebody is 11, 12, 13, 14, even 15, 16, the truth about war, the truth about the military, and what's going to happen to their brother or their sister or their child. How do we communicate between everybody on this?
Well, the biggest thing with that, the issue of our armed forces, with war, with everything else that our kids are exposed to, is to be open and proactive. I'm a big believer in tackling issues like this, exposing them, opening their eyes to things that they will encounter and will have questions about
Violet, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, in the library, when the kids come into the library, what type of kids do we have coming into the library looking for help? Is it across all the spectrum? Do you have a specific group? I know when you and I have worked together, the kids we end up having show up in the library are usually the ones that are doing really well in school, and they're looking for more information.
Right, and I think there's actually a cross. I think there's kids whose parents are not home, and so here they come to the library. It's someplace they can go. They can get on the Internet. They can connect with their friends. And then I do think there's all the kids that come in. They're looking for, you know, to get that book report done. They're trying to get the work done and deal with it, you know, as they're supposed to. But I think we have a wide variety, and it's very interesting to see the different problems they have to deal with.
What kind of resources do you have? And I mean, Rantoul Library, again, we're a very small town. But what kind of resources do most libraries have that they can make available to everybody?
I think a lot of libraries, now like you say, we're a small library. We do have the Internet connection for the kids. We have, you know, the printed encyclopedias that are available and a lot of the other books that are standard that people would look for if they're, you know, looking for things about drugs. There's a lot of nonfiction books. There's a lot of different DVDs and things of sound recordings that they can listen to learn about all the different issues that they're dealing with.
Now, most libraries, I know the Rantoul Library, and you've been working on this over the last few weeks, you're usually connected into a larger library system, correct?
Correct.
And how does that work, and what are the resources then available to you?
Thankfully, you're right. We've recently become one of the largest consortiums in Illinois. We have 427 libraries that we're now connected with. So if a student is looking for something that we don't have at our library, thankfully they can get something from another library from anywhere from southern Illinois to the very central Illinois. All these libraries are connected, and so we don't have to have all the resources in our library, but we can get them for a patron through the consortium, and it's really a nice deal, I'll tell you, because you can sit at home on your computer and you can look, or you can come and ask us, you can give us a phone call, all these different ways that you're able to get information.
Now, Nicole, again, we've just had the local authors fair, and that's what this whole series we've been doing on Warrior Connection in March and April is talking to all these different authors. What kind of impact has that had on your work, Nicole, with having, you know, a big fair like this and continuous exposure?
Well, it's always good to get out in the local area. Being a mom of several young kids, I'm home a lot, and I work from home, and sometimes I feel like a hermit. So it's really nice to get out locally. I do some traveling, so I go to conferences and I've been to a couple of the library conventions and different things like that. But there is a big difference about meeting people locally and just putting faces with names people maybe I've connected with on the Internet but haven't had the opportunity to meet.
Yeah, Violet, what kind of programs, again, we've had local author fair. This year what we had a thing where the local authors came in and they read excerpts from their books, and we had an opportunity to meet them and see them and talk with them. And then you had a tea also on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of response did you have from the public, and what did the authors think about this whole experience?
I think it was a great success in a lot of ways. We had a lot of people come in, and they enjoyed hearing the authors read from their works. In fact, it was funny because we'd set the time to be until 8:30 in the evening, and I'm sure that we ran way over, but no one wanted to seem to leave. They were enjoying talking with all the different authors and hearing, you know, why did somebody write this or how they wrote it and how do we get published, and actually be able to connect with somebody instead of just sending off a letter to somebody and get back a rejection letter, but actually to say, how do I do this? How did you get there? And actually, you know, see that these folks have all this diverse different styles of books and different ways of getting there. And it's been really good. And then the tea this year, that was so much fun. I don't know about you, Nicole, but that was so much fun just to sit down.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. With real tea cups and real tea and real tablecloths and live flowers and live music serenading us. And then the chance to talk with all these different authors and to know that, you know what, I'll get to sit down for 20 minutes and have a little snack and talk to them. And ask further questions that you might not have had to be able to ask earlier. But then also, there because there's other people sitting at the table with you, someone else might have brought up a question that you hadn't thought about. And so you really did learn about all these authors, and I thought it was fantastic. Everything I've heard from everybody was, this was fun. Can we do it next year?
I would not have liked Violet's job, though, because she had to ring the bell to make everybody move to the next table. And I could see her face every time she got up to ring that bell. She said, oh, no, I'm interrupting conversation. But she did it.
Yeah, but it was good. In fact, it was nice having, you know, to know that this conversation wasn't going to continue, that you're going to get refreshed with new people, new energy to talk with them. And so it was kind of good to be able to have that, okay, this is going to end. It's only going to be 20 minutes. But then afterwards, a lot of the authors were able to stick around, and hopefully some of the public was, you know, saying, you know, I really like that author. I think I want to buy the book from them. And we were hoping that that was the second part of this, is not only that the public got some benefit, but the authors got a benefit from us getting to know them and saying, that's an interesting author, I'm going to invest in this, and I'm going to, you know, purchase a book from them. I haven't heard as much comment from that end, but that's the hope.
Yeah, I think, well, this is, again, the local authors' fair of the Rantoul Public Library. This has been going on for a few years, and we've done workshops in the past, all types of workshops, showing people how to do research, how to put books together, how to do writing, the whole shebang. And it just seems to me like the times I've been involved in, it's just been extraordinary, and everybody got so much out of it, even though if you were new to it or experienced in it, you gained and learned something.
I think I have every year. Nicole has been with us for a couple of years, and Doug, you've been with us, not maybe at the very beginning, but I imagine you've been with us for at least 5 years on this one, and it has. I mean, so many different authors that have come in, and so many different topics to learn from different people in different ways. I mean, the workshops and just walking around the library and having a chance to talk with them as they were selling their books. It was just, it's always been fascinating to find out how different people get to the same place. You know, here's my book, here's my story, or here's, you know, what I've wanted to teach somebody. And it's always been fascinating just to see how that comes about for different people.
Yeah, I think, and what's neat, not only did you have the authors, you've had publishers also there, so the individual authors get to meet a publisher, or people coming in get to meet a real publisher and find out the entire process and what's all involved in that.
Yeah. And unfortunately, this year we weren't able to get any publishers in. But we're hoping to do that again, because we have had people say, you know, I came to this before, and there was such and such a publisher there, you know, Mayhaven and other ones, and they said, I really got a chance to connect with them. It was not just, you know, some person that I wrote to. This was actually a person that's local, and I can really go and talk to them about some of my problems with being an author.
Yeah, that's so neat. And again, the Rantoul Public Library, and I think most libraries are, you're actually going to have a writer's workshop setting up here real quick, aren't you?
Well, we have the writer's group that we're, that's been going on, and part of, because of the writer's group, I mean, a local author's event that we had several years ago, the writer's group was developed, and it's something that several people have asked for, and it's been going on, and I believe that they'll be meeting on May 13th. They're meeting on Mondays, and they're meeting, well, that Monday, and they're meeting at 9:30 until 11:30. They're trying to do it during the daytime, see if they can meet other people's needs. And who knows, maybe the group gets big enough that they have to have a group that meets at the nighttime. But they meet every month. They try to bring some kind of exercise to develop writers. They ask writers to maybe to bring their work. It's a safe environment. You can go there, and people aren't going to judge you, but they're going to be able to help you and encourage you to build your skills as a writer.
I think what's really unique, again, Rantoul, we're here in East Central Illinois, and Rantoul is just literally north of Champaign, and we have the University of Illinois, which is literally, I don't know, one of the top five libraries in the entire United States, I believe.
Could be.
Way up there anyway, so the resources there, again, are totally invaluable all the way across, and giving people an opportunity to come into a library and find out what's happening. I know the kids, I mean, when I'll come into the library, of kids that I've had in class, they'll come running up and they want to talk and they want help and everything else. And you see that on a daily basis, don't you?
We do. And it's kind of neat to be able to build those relationships with those kids.
Yeah.
And if I could interject just a little bit here, Doug, the if you're listening and you're not local to the Ransoul area, check your, if you have a community college nearby, check the libraries and see what they have to offer. But also your community colleges often have those community non-credit courses that you can take. For example, here at Parkland College, I teach how to get published, and this summer I'm teaching how to use social media to build your platform, and I'm teaching how to self-publish a book. So there are a lot of those things that are available. You can pay, I think they're $40 or $50 through the community college, and then you go for 4 to 6 to 8 weeks, depending on the course, and participate with that group. That's just an opportunity, something for you to look into in your local area.
Very valuable.
What kind of people do you have that are enrolled in your courses at Parkland College?
Oh, it has spanned the gamut, that's for sure. I have had physics majors, and I've had high school students, because you don't have to, these are non-credit courses, so anyone can sign up. I've had grandmothers and retirees and businessmen. It's just all across the board, people who have something they want to say.
That's pretty exciting. Can you talk a little bit about your own radio shows? You got, Choose Now Radio and Choose Now Ministries?
Mm-hmm.
If I
disappear, it's because I'm using mute, because I have a horrible cold. We're all getting over the flu here, and my cough is horrendous. But Choose Now Ministries is my blanket, the umbrella over everything I do, the writing and the website, which I should mention. If you go there, you'll find lots of columns by other people, not just me, people who are experts in their area of interest. And they write a monthly column that contributes to the Choose Now Ministries websites. And some of them are for teens and some are for parents, and it's all part of that big bucket of resources we're trying to put out there. And then we have the radio show, and you can access that on the website as well, or you can go through choosenowradio.com, just another way to get to the same place. And that's that Parent Talk and Teen Talk program that I do weekly.
Wow, that's really exciting. I mean, we could talk forever and ever and ever on, what are suggestions and what are ideas and how do you talk to your teens and how do you communicate back and forth. Is there anything that you have found, either one of you in both your work as a librarian in the library, and Nicole, what have you found are the key hot buttons that we need to be able to improve our communications with our teens?
You want
to
take
Nicole?
Well, I have a book series actually called Hot Buttons, and it's a 6-book series. It's recently been endorsed by Focus on the Family, so it's kind of exciting. It's what it is. They're for parents, and each book is specifically geared to help parents talk to their teenagers about that specific hot button issue. And I'm talking about things like dating and sexuality, drugs and internet activity, all the things that our teenagers stumble across on the internet, and image, which I spoke about a little bit earlier, and bullying, which is a problem across the board. So these are geared, it's actually a system of communication that I developed and used with my own kids and put it together in this book form to help parents tackle these issues proactively and help steer their teenagers and preteens. Don't think that it's specific for teenagers. Definitely, definitely parents of preteens, you want to be having these conversations.
That's pretty neat. I mean, this is really exciting. So, again, your website is
www.NicoleOdell.com,
correct?
Correct.
Neat. What other ideas or suggestions do you have, Nicole, that you can share with our listeners?
Well, if we're talking, we've kind of covered a couple of things here, writing and parenting and teenagers and a little bit of the military, and I think it all fits together really well, for me anyway. I everything that I write comes from that place of searching for answers for myself as I parent my kids. So I'm looking for answers. I'm trying to help them avoid some of the mistakes I made, and I'm trying to steer them in the right direction. So I'm searching, praying, and constantly looking for new ways to get a result. And that all goes together in these books. And what happened originally, I got, I guess hired would be the word, by Barber Publishing to write some devotional, one-page devotional, kind of like a Chicken Soup for the Soul type thing for a book where they were having a bunch of people contribute to it. And then that kind of blew up into, I wrote 201 of those, one page to fill. And that led to the book contracts and the fiction, and then later to the nonfiction for parents. And I guess in parents, you know, we're working hard, we're looking at our kids, we're wondering what they're going to do with their lives, whether they go to college or they join the military and go off into far-flung places like my son. And we're kind of trying to find our way. And that exploration is an important part of the process. And I think if we embrace that and learn from our own mistakes and see it as a tool, you know, we're not going to do it all right all the time. We're not going to be 100% perfect as parents 100% of the time. I've just this week have been dealing with my four-year-old triplets who have the flu, and I have the flu, and it's been, you know, I have to say I have not been the nicest mom some of this week. It's not, you know, but that's okay. We have to show ourselves some grace and show our teenagers some grace. And the other side of that is when they do mess up, what we're going to do, how we're going to respond to the mistakes they might make is very important, and we have to be prepared for that.
I think what I've learned as a parent, again, with two growing kids and now grandkids, is individual responsibility is absolutely crucial to the whole thing, to where they understand if they made a mistake, they correct it, admit it, and then we just go on from there.
Yes, yes, that clean slate is so important. And in the back of each one of those Hot Buttons books I was talking about, there's a three-part series that takes the parents and teenagers kind of through a study guide, a life application opportunity to talk through confession to each other and kind of laying it all out on the table. What has happened? What have I done? How have I disappointed you? Or parents and teenagers to each other. And then finding that place of forgiveness and then moving forward with that clean slate. It's hard sometimes. You know, I still feel, here I am, you know, with six kids of my own, and I still feel some of the regret from my own teen years and feel that judgment that was probably self-imposed from my parents, you know, where I have that in the back of my mind, how they must see me by the choices I made. And, we're talking decades ago, and it's still there. So it's really important that we help our kids deal with that stuff and not have them carrying that burden, you know, after the mistakes they make, because they will make mistakes.
Well, as a mother of an Air Force combat, individual in combat right now, what are your thoughts or your ideas or what do you feel? I mean, this is a daily basis. I mean, our son got deployed 5 times over there and then he finally got out, but current time, Operation Iraqi Freedom, Operation Enduring Freedom. But what is going through your mind, or what do you feel, or how can you help other parents to understand this whole thing?
Yeah, it hasn't been, and I don't want this to sound cold, but it hasn't been that difficult for me because I come from a place of faith, and I believe that he's doing what he really believed he was supposed to do. And he actually tested for the Air Force, and then he got some kind of deal where he could choose the job he wanted, and he had to wait until it became available. So after he enlisted, it was another year before he actually left for basic training. And then he had to go through the basic training and then the special training and, you know, a couple other levels of things. And all the time I was thinking, oh, every step he takes, he gets farther and farther into this thing. But it's okay. This is what he set out to do, and I believe that it's important for people to defend their country, absolutely. Sometimes I wonder, you know, why does it have to be my kid? But it's okay, because I come from that place of faith, and I know that things that happen on this earth are temporary, and, it's empowering. And it helps to just be able to let go a little bit. Plus, I think it's very different now than it was years ago, because I see his face and talk to him through video Skype a couple of times a week. So when we're able to have that connection and see that, you know, he's healthy and he's intact, it really helps.
Yeah, that's such a big difference, because I know when I went to Vietnam, that's 40 years ago, I mean, the only communication we had at that time was basically written communication, or you'd have a little bit of cassette tape. You might tape, you know, a tape recorder where you sent back and forth. But it took weeks and months to get any information.
Yeah.
And then with Desert Storm, we had a little bit better communication, but again, it was very, very difficult and everything up to. And now you can almost, I mean, individuals I've had, my son, well, he's over there, he'll get on the phone and he'll call us up.
It's a huge change. And, you know, we were talking about the younger kids earlier and their response to him being over there. And my younger daughter, she's 12, she had to write a short story for her English class. And I read this story, and it was about this military family whose the older brother was off serving somewhere. I think she had it as Kuwait. And the his superior officer showed up at the front door with that folded flag. And I could see through her expressing this through this story what she was grappling with in her mind. So that's, you know, it's another opportunity to see how fiction and storytelling and getting into your kids' minds in that way can expose you, open your eyes to some of the things they're struggling with that they might not be able to verbalize or even understand themselves until they see it displayed out there on the page and they say, oh, I guess that really was a concern of mine. Now how do we deal with it?
I know, Violet, you and I have worked together, and again with Holly, the main librarian, we've worked together to get medical information out to the veterans and the military families and the personnel, which has been incredible because sometimes we found out, even though the military should or the Department of Veteran Affairs should, they haven't exactly provided the necessary information to all of the veterans coming back to get their health, have they?
No, they haven't.
And it's very important. Again, that's another resource. I know in our library here, you've got all those resources available, and we communicate and coordinate back and forth all the time. But again, that's another important thing for the library to be able to do. If the library can gather that information and provide it to everybody, then it can make things a lot easier.
Right.
What kind of library resources are available? I mean, we talked a little bit about this, but what does an average library usually have as far as resources in it?
Well, are you thinking of like our programs that we have?
Well, let's talk about both programs and then also what you have as far as actual physical resources in the library, books and stuff.
Sure. We're out there in the community doing a lot of things like May 8th during the Spring Fling. We'll be out in the community doing face painting and we'll do balloon things and talk about our summer reading program that way. And the summer reading program will be starting in June, so it's an opportunity for people to continue their reading, and this is for adults all the way down to children, where we have that chance for us to stay connected and stay intellectually still, you know, viable and working in our brains. And during the summertime when people think, oh, it's time to take off. But it's a time to expand, you know, read some of those fiction books that you haven't had time because you've been studying so much. And just keep your brain active. But we have the summer reading program. We have chess club, where the people that are interested in learning chess can come, or if they're, you know, they've been playing and they want some place to come. So that's another place where people have a chance to stay active and keep their brain, you know, going. And actually another place to be social. It's a safe place to be social. And it's just that kind of opportunity for people. But we also have, for like moms, if they're looking for a place for their kids to come to learn stories, we have story time for preschoolers every Thursday morning. Holly, our director, is the one who does that. She does little finger plays and puppets and, I mean, just, you know, all kinds of fun stories. And every time she has a different topic, it's usually seasonal, and she's trying to reach those preschoolers. And it's a nice place for kids to come and say, you know, they can learn about things, but at the same time, it's a place for kids of that age where if they get wiggly, it's okay. It's a place to learn that you can listen to a story, but you can still be wiggly. So that's a resource that we have for families. Now, recently, we've added the Domino Club. And this is like Wednesdays afternoons, and they meet from 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. And they come into the library, and they play dominoes. And it's just a real nice place for them to sit and talk and play and talk. And you can hear them all the way in the library. And it's kind of fun to have that connection with people in a nice, relaxing environment. So, and it's a real nice thing, although they're during the school time, so it's not generally going to be kids for that time, but it's for the rest of us who've got maybe a day off on a Wednesday afternoon. Let's go play dominoes at the library. Let's do something different. But, you know, we have those kind of things for folks to be able to connect with each other And that's a nice resource.
Yeah, I know one of the other things, again, I've worked as a teacher, we've worked together, you and I, where you have, when we're doing something or teaching something in the school, you'll get the books together and make those as a resource.
Mm-hmm.
So the kids have all those resources when they come to the library. So, again, that really tight coordination between the schools and the teachers and the library has been really beneficial, hasn't it?
It has. We've built kits for teachers that have, like, maybe several books on one topic, and that way they can get the kit and they can take the whole thing, and it might have a DVD and a book in it and even physical things that are due. Like, we've got one, it's a money kit where they can play with plastic money and learn how to count money. So we do provide a lot of things for curriculum as well. And we have a lot of teachers that come in year after year. You know, they're going to be studying about kinetics. Oh, I know that I can get that DVD about it, and it's a really fun one. I mean, Bill Nye, the science guy. So they can come in. They can always find those kind of resources to deal with a certain curriculum that they're dealing with.
That's pretty neat. So in the average library, I mean, obviously today most libraries are going to have computers, so they've got online with the supercomputer connections. They can also, I know we've got an area in the library where people come in with their own computer, and if the Wi-Fi is up there.
Yes.
So they can listen to that. So you've got fiction and nonfiction books where you've got for adults and for children in separate areas, correct?
Correct. Well, we've also got Microfiche Reader that has the rental press all the way back to like 1900. So if you're doing a genealogy thing, or maybe you've got a reunion, maybe there's several guys in the service that were together here at Chanute, and you're like, you know, I remember that we were all together at a specific time. I'd love to find a newspaper article about that. You know the time period. You can come into the library, you can find that on the microfilm, print that up, and then you've got something to add to your reunion, or to, you know, send to one of your buddies that you've been in the service with. So that's one of the resources that we have. And one other unusual thing that we have, we were donated to us a magnifying machine. And so if you've got somebody who's trying to read, like, even their pill bottle or something like that, you can come in, and it's in one of the rooms, so you got a little bit of privacy, and you can put your item down there and magnify it and freeze it, and then you can actually look at it. We've had people come and look at coins, people come in and look at different stamps, those kind of things. So that's one unusual resource that we have at our library.
Now, I think also, especially for Warrior Connection, Rantoul Public Library is also a depository.
Yes.
On all of the papers and documents and reports dealing with the cleanup Chanute Air Force Base and everything.
Yes.
Else also, isn't it?
It is, and they update it very, very frequently, so they do keep us informed of what's going on there. You just reminded me of one other thing that's a military connection. We have our Kurkowski collection that has been donated to us by the Kurkowski family, and that's been there for years, and they keep adding books about the Air Force, books about the space program. We have some displays there. So if people are interested in learning about that area, we do have that specialized collection in our library.
That's a very unique resource, isn't it, for a small
mm-hmm.
town library?
It is.
Well, you also have, again, like most libraries, you have a special room set up for all the magazines and newspapers, so you get the daily newspapers from the whole area.
Mm-hmm.
And magazines, people can come in there and sit and read, so they don't actually have to have a subscription.
Save a little money. Save some space in your house, right?
Sometime I think I need to give a prescription to my students to go and read.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, we also, like, if you know of some folks who are shut in, and they do have a library card, or maybe they need help getting a library card, we do provide that kind of service where we have already going that we've got several clients or patrons that can't get out for whatever reason, and they let us know maybe they like mystery, or maybe they like to read spy movies, you know, or listen to spy things. So we can get things for them, and we actually will take them to them. And if they're having trouble reading, well, then we'll just get them a CD book so they can sit and listen to it, and they're still able to read that fiction, but just not in a printed matter.
Wow, just a lot of resources.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Nicole, are you still there?
I am, yes.
Wow. Well, I mean, you've got so much to help with everything else, and your Girl Talk series and everything, again, question and answer, dealing with everything for the whole thing to help everybody. And then you've got your website, www.NicoleOdell.com, N-I-C-O-L-E, Odell, O-D-E-L-L.com. When people go to your website, what can they look for? What can they find there?
Well, there are several ways to access it. And if you go that way, NicoleOdell.com, that homepage is kind of focused on me. And I hesitate to even throw that out there. I don't like it. It's not all about me. You know, this is about the parents and the teenagers mm-hmm. and the resources and what we're trying to do to make a difference in families.
What is website for Girl Talk?
Well, if you go to choose-now.com, it's the same website. It just takes you to a different homepage. And there is where you'll see all the blog posts and the columns that are available. The Girl Talk column is linked through there. All the columns that I was talking about earlier, for example, Tricia Goyer, who is a prolific award-winning author, she writes a column about teen pregnancy. And we've got people writing about finances. We've got people writing about dating and friendship and parenting, even marriage issues, because that spills over into raising kids and teenagers. So all those columns, they go up once a month. Everyone submits their column, and we put it up there on the website. And it's meant to be a well-rounded resource where families can camp out for a while and find something that'll meet the need they have. And I mentioned that giveaway. That's at NicoleOdell.com. They can enter to win the full Diamond Estate series. And there are several ways to enter, and you can see it there on that home page. And one thing is the newsletter, and you can sign up for that there. And when you sign up for my newsletter, you get a choice of two free e-books, and you get this monthly resource that provides more of that advice and tips and things that I've been talking about, and also just keeps you informed of upcoming radio programs, guests we're going to be having, and upcoming columns if we get a new columnist and when that's going to be starting and what it's about. So it's a good way to stay in touch with all that's happening at Choose Now Ministries.
Wow, that's really exciting. I mean, you know, when we started looking at this, and I went to your website and looked at it, and I'm going, wow, these resources are really great.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Now we just need to get that information out to all the kids, because I know when I was teaching sixth grade the other day, the girls are, and all the teens are just going through so many transitions and so many things that they have and so much help that they need. And you could see that they're struggling along, and at the same time, they're reaching out saying, somebody help me, somebody help me.
Right. Exactly. Exactly right. And they don't know what they're going to face until they get there. So it's our job as parents and adults, other, you know, ministry-minded or people who have a heart to make a difference in the lives of teenagers, we have to get there first and open their eyes and prepare them to make good choices and give them insight into what they're going to encounter. Because if we throw them out there and send them out into their schools, into the world, and let them encounter the peer pressure and the temptations and the challenges and the disappointments and struggles they're going to face without any preparation, it's like pushing them off a cliff and expecting them to learn how to fly. It's not going to happen. So we have to, it's our job as mom and dad and community leaders and adults, it's our job to pave the way and prepare them.
Well, it sounds like, ladies and gentlemen, we've got two incredible resources here. We got Violet Lepine, and again, the libraries, and all libraries are going to have those resources, and Nicole Odell now that's joined us with all the resources that they have on her website, choosenow.com, and everything else, where you got Girl Talk, you got Hot Buttons, you got all the book series. I mean, it's extremely, extremely important. I think one of the things when I was growing up, and I raising my kids and now working with my grandkids, that you notice is every time a problem happens, the child or the kid thinks, well, I'm the first one to experience that, don't they?
That's exactly right. One of the examples I give when it comes to dating and sexual choices and physical intimacy is, you know, we get these young kids to make these commitments to something, you know, they're going to stay pure till marriage, but they have no idea what they're promising. It would be like me telling you when you're a kid, when you're little, telling you that chocolate is really bad for you and you shouldn't eat it and it's going to make you fat and it's going to, you know, give you heart disease and it's terrible, it tastes terrible. And you make this promise, but you have no idea what you're promising. And then that first day you're in the mall and you walk past that fudge shop and you see those people in there with that fudge and it smells so good and they look so happy. And, you know, everybody's, and you think, well, I'm going to just take a bite. And you take a bite of that chocolate, and all of a sudden, all those promises you made fade away because in your mind, you're thinking, my parents had no idea what they were talking about. So when your teenagers get in those heated moments, they're not prepared. They don't know what they're encountering, so they're not prepared to make a good choice.
Well, Nicole, Violet, thank you very much. We'd like to continue this conversation. I mean, again, the resource available, Progressive Radio Network is moving forward. We're giving you incredible resources tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Nicole, thank you. Violet, thank you for everything you've done at the library.
Thank you, Doug. Thank you.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, God bless America, and take it easy.
Bye-bye.